Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's hosted by me, Kyle Sconewell, and my friend, Robbie Earle. Last Saturday was a very, very big day in the Marvel world.
The Marvel Universe, or multiverse, yep. If you will.
And per usual, Robbie and I chose that day to take off. So, you know, we're doing our best to be the least punctual podcast out there. And I feel like we're doing a pretty good job with it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, here's one thing I'll say, though. We have historically always recorded an episode just in time to miss a new bit of news. And this time, I'm actually kind of grateful that we waited, because I feel like in the aftermath of Comic-Con, a lot of things were clarified. Some additional announcements were made that we'll discuss here in a bit. So I actually feel like we have a fuller picture of the situation than we would have had we been able to record on Saturday. So, silver lining.
I love it. So we promised for a while that today would be our Thor Love and Thunder reflection and ranking episode. However, I just need to say off the top that after discussing it together for a while, we are going to postpone that reflection to next week, Thursday. And here's why. It's straight up just because we do not want to shortchange any of these massive announcements that were made last Saturday. And we both were nervous that if we talked about both things in the same episode, we'd get tired, we'd run out of energy in a massive marathon. And so we are going to pour all of our attention today on all of these announcements and go into them deeper than we would have. And then next week, we will follow it up then with our Thor Love and Thunder reflection. Sound like a deal?
I love it. I'll shake on that.
I know there was a lot of people on the Slack clamoring for a four-hour episode. That will not be today. However, we have all of the energy of a four-hour episode. And we'll be back better than ever next week, too. So,
plus, we'll be able to get all of the content that might have been in the imagined 3 or 4 hour episode, but just spaced out a little bit.
Right. And I got to say, it's probably going to end up being more content because we were going to take next week off as well. And now we're not. So
true.
It's extra content.
Are you happy?
Are you not entertained? Russell Crowe style. Okay. So here's what I think we should do. For those of you who missed it, there is a Comic-Con that happens in San Diego every year, although during COVID, it had been postponed. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal for all kinds of nerd communities, not just Marvel, not even just DC. I saw even, for example, that Severance was there on a panel.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mondo all kinds was there. Of people
a,
go.
Yeah, a bunch of cool, a lot of the cool kind of pop culture companies, whether they're on the merch side, like I think Funko Pop, you know, has a thing there. I think Lego has a thing there, or obviously on the creative side. So it's something that I think we'll maybe try to get to one of these days.
That would be so much fun. Our big-time nerd listeners out there are like, yeah, we know. That's what Comic-Con is. But I'm just making sure that the people that are casuals understand what happened.
Yep.
Marvel, in the main hall called Hall H, gets a, what, two-hour block or so to kind of come in and announce all of their stuff. And this is the first year in a while specifically that Marvel was there. I think I remember they skipped a couple years in there. And so it was a big deal that they were back.
Well, because if you think about it, 2020 was, we were in the thick of COVID. So we didn't have it. And then, last year they just had the kind of abbreviated Comic-Con. So I think what's crazy is the last time that we heard from Marvel in this way was, I remember, because you and I had a conversation about it. It was like the week before we started the podcast, like before our first episode ever came out. And it was when they announced like Love and Thunder and what, WandaVision? I mean, that's when it was like after Far From Home, it was the first big batch of things that were announced. So, I mean, it was a huge, basically everything in Phase 4 was announced last time. And we haven't really heard from them in that kind of arena since then.
As I tweeted, though, I am as excited to talk about this stuff as I have been in a while. And I guess I was pleasantly surprised at how fired up this got me. On Saturday night, I became one of those guys that we referenced. I was live during all of this. I did a Twitter Spaces with a lot of our listeners, which was really fun. So I actually got to hear from listeners and their sweet, beautiful voices that I've never heard before.
That was fun. I was there for like 4.5 minutes, and they were the best 4.5 minutes of my Saturday night.
And we may have to do that a little more often. I actually texted you like, oh my gosh, step out of your work party. This is like massively bigger than we thought it'd be. Please get out here. And you did. To your credit, you did. You stepped aside and answered it. But I think that could be a fun avenue going forward. So if that interests you, by the way, as always, follow us on social media at the FFW podcast and join the Slack channel, because that's where I made that announcement that I'd be doing that. But my point is, I was all in on that. And I've been really, really excited to talk to you today about this because your crazy work schedule, because of my travel, we haven't discussed this as always. And so this is going to be really, really fun for me. And on top of that, just when you were kind of feeling like, is Marvel losing a little bit of the spotlight? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to some of our episodes during Moon Knight and Ms. Marvel. We talked a lot about how like the release timing maybe affects things. And with Ms. Marvel's numbers being down, even though you and I liked it, we were like, why are not as many people listening to this? And so there was just a lot of questions about, man, like even on that Twitter Spaces, I fielded so many questions about oversaturation and and that's a discussion we can get into in a different and we can get to a different point. My point though is like, man, you had those questions for like a month, and then here comes Kevin at the San Diego Comic-Con and he just blew the roof off this place, off the internet, and honestly just makes DC look so bad. Because everybody was pumped to see the DC announcements. They were pumped about, is Superman going to be Henry Cavill going forward? And all this stuff. And DC kind of didn't do any of that. They announced like a Black Adam thing. There's a few little things. And then Marvel comes in and goes, oh, here's a few things. It's all of our Phase 5. Here's all the cast talking about it. Here's some trailers. And, oh, by the way, the shocking announcement, here's Phase 6 as well. Here's the titles. Like, just absolutely absurd and blew up the internet. And it's crazy because it worked for me, Robbie. I am totally, like we talked about in the Ms. Marvel finale, feeling totally rejuvenated again in a way that I wasn't 2 months ago.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It took me like a day to get caught up on everything I had missed by being offline Saturday night. But a couple of things, just responding to what you just said. One, it's a bummer to me because I don't think that it has to be, and I don't think this is what you were saying, it doesn't have to be Marvel versus DC. I think a lot of like diehard DC fans, especially Snyder, like hardcore Snyder bros, have made it that. But like I've read interviews with Kevin where he really roots for what DC is doing. I know whenever James Gunn went over to DC after all that drama, Marvel sent him like a gift basket the first day he started filming Suicide Squad. Like, I don't think that there has to be animosity there. And like, you know, we reviewed and both really loved the Batman. And I would, you know, like you and I were talking about this some, like I would love to see DC succeed. They have a lot of stuff that I think they could do really well. I do think it's just so strange that they have a character like Superman that's just seemingly on the shelf.
I'm also just referencing, like, our friend Matt had a tweet, and it was like LeBron James, I think, dunking on someone like way over their head, and it just said Marvel, and everyone else was the guy getting dunked on. And it's like, that is kind of true. I'm not even bashing DC. It's just like when they take the stage, all of a sudden it blows up everything.
Yeah, well, and because they were announcing things that nobody was even looking for, like, and like answering questions that we didn't even know to ask. Yeah, I mean, I think it's way beyond anything I ever expected.
And so that is our introduction into today's episode, which is going to be covering all of that news at the San Diego Comic-Con Hall H. And so without further ado, Robbie, I think we have a What's New in the MCU segment here, brought to you by our friends at Epic Hero Shop. If you are into nerd merchandise, check out epicheroshop.com. Use our promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK to save some money on your purchase, and you're going to like a lot of the merchandise you find over there, and they're really quick. So if you like a lot of these announcements, you might want to check out epicheroshop.com, because chances are they're probably already working on some new stuff. So check out epicheroshop.com. What's new in the MCU, Robbie? Here we go. Okay, so I think the best way to go about this is straight up linearly. So because of that, I think let's finish off a few of the phase four things, then we'll get into the phase five and six stuff, okay?
Perfect.
One of the two biggest takeaways for me from this entire thing is actually related to two phase four projects.
Yeah.
The next thing that's coming out are these five animated shorts called I Am Groot, and those release on August 10th, so not far from now. I know some people have seen them. We have not seen them, but I've heard good things thus far. The little trailer looked fun. Nice animation, looks like a fun story. I obviously don't think it's going to have a ton of bearing on the MCU, but it'll be a fun little story, and I've heard that it works especially well for kids.
Oh, but nice.
The two things I was super pumped about, let's start with the She-Hulk trailer.
Yes.
Miss Walters, we answer to a higher power. Our universe is on the edge of a precipice.
I am a lawyer. We do things by the book.
No, the book of Ashanti.
No, the book of American laws.
Whether you like it or not, you're now a superhero.
Let's do this.
You know that friend you had in high school? Who was way cooler than you were, attractive, got all the attention from everyone. Hello.
I think I'm jealous. Is that what I'm feeling?
She-Hulk, which comes out on August 17th. I am excited about all Marvel projects, but I just want to start by saying I was like a 6 out of 10 on She-Hulk, and now I'm like an 8.5 or 9 out of 10 just based on this trailer. In fact, when I got you in the Twitter Spaces thing, what's the first thing I said to you? You need to go watch the new She-Hulk trailer.
Well, and we were talking right around the time that a new Daredevil project was announced, which we'll get to in a bit. And I was asking you all these questions about that, and you kept kind of dodging them and finally just told me he's in the She-Hulk trailer. And he is in the She-Hulk trailer, and he's in the yellow suit, the kind of classic Daredevil suit, which has been rumored to be the way he'd appear. And the crazy thing is that was not even, I mean, that's probably the most exciting part of the trailer, but there are a lot of other exciting parts about that trailer.
I don't know if you saw this today. They actually released this tiny little TV spot, and it's of She-Hulk talking. And she's like, now don't expect this to be the show with all the cameos in each episode. Then she goes, besides Bruce and Juan. And she's like, wait, dang it. And that's how it kind of ends. Like, it is one every episode. But that's what blew me away is I think I've been longing for this connectivity. And I never thought the connective tissue, I guess, would come from She-Hulk. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Daredevil so much. I think in some ways Daredevil, when we get there, is maybe the biggest announcement of the whole night. Just because we went from having no Daredevil to
Right.
Daredevil in No Way Home, Daredevil in She-Hulk, Daredevil in Echo, Daredevil's own series, probably Daredevil in the movies. You know, like, we're going to go Daredevil overload here. Which, by the way, shout out Friends from Work Plus, because we went back and covered the first season of Daredevil there, and we plan on doing the other two seasons as well. So check that out. But anyways, here's my point. Dude, I mean, we got Wong. We got Abomination. Yeah. We got Wong with a reference to the Book of Ashanti. That's crazy. Then we get Daredevil. Are you kidding me?
Even the conversation with her and Blonsky that we get, where she's going to be representing Blonsky and her talking about, oh, he tried to kill my cousin. Like, they are, I mean, one of the interesting things to
me. Did we know they were cousins, by the way? Did I know that? How did I miss that?
You might not have known that. That is the relationship in the comics.
I didn't know that, by the way. So that was news to me on Saturday.
But I love that conversation that she has with Blonsky for a couple of reasons. And by the way, if you're, I feel like one helpful way to get through this episode, if you're not driving and have the ability to, is as we're talking about, particularly some of these trailers, if you haven't seen them, I would just recommend pausing and then going to watch them, because we're just going to be referencing back to things. But if not, we're going to recap them for you. So either way, it's great. But these trailers are really fun. And one of the things I liked about that interaction is, one, it shows the way that her being a lawyer fits into all this, because she's representing Blonsky. Two, it shows that they are actually carrying over that character from The Incredible Hulk, which I know sounds like a given, but kind of hasn't been. Like, the only real references that we've gotten to that movie are in What If, and sort of in Shang-Chi, just because Abomination showed up. But this is the first time that we are actually kind of getting confirmation of those events and looping the Edward Norton story in. And I'm really curious to see how that works, because I think one of the more fascinating parts of the all the legal stuff around the MCU, not within the universe with She-Hulk, but outside of the universe, is that the whole Universal deal has prevented Marvel from being able to make straight up solo Hulk projects the way that they want to. And so that's why we've only gotten Hulk in other projects. But I think based on this, this is going to be kind of the most like Hulk Bruce centered project that we've really ever gotten with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. I should have figured that he'd be a large part of a show called She-Hulk, but I guess this trailer made it seem like he was even bigger than I thought. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about that too.
I felt that so much in this trailer, that connectivity you were saying, and I realized, and it's not just because of Bruce, but I think that's a part of it. I think as much as I've loved a ton of the Phase 4 Disney Plus shows, well, and just a ton of the Phase 4 stuff in general, I think that there has been not a lack, because I think it was kind of intentional, but there have been so many new things introduced, and even in familiar properties, like Spider-Man No Way Home was primarily kind of about new things happening. Like, there were people coming in from the multiverse. He was dealing with kind of a new situation. It wasn't really, Far From Home was a look back. That wasn't. So when we've gotten a lot of look backs at like the events of Endgame and the way that they impacted people, I feel like a lot of the projects we've gotten have been sort of not connected to the mainstream MCU that we knew through like the original six Avengers. Because even like Hawkeye felt like it was sort of, it was more about Clint and his own journey than it was about what's happening. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Whereas here it feels like the first time we're getting back into like what felt like the mainstream of the MCU for so much of the Infinity Saga, like dealing with some of those same players and relationships and concepts. And that just gets me, I'm this is not me speaking ill of the other stuff, because I've loved so much of what we've gotten. It just gets me excited to see like, oh, we're doing this. We're kind of back here now. We've been gone long enough to where I'm now really excited to see this particular kind of Marvel Studios property.
No doubt. My last comment on that, just because we're going to have so much to say, I'm going to keep it moving. But this is the first time we saw the fourth wall be broken.
Yeah. And, wow.
But, and just by the way, the trailer in general is pretty funny. The way Hulk is insecure about it. Her giving him the finger when he pushes off the cliff. Like, pretty funny, pretty cool. I'm undecided on the fourth wall stuff. You know, The Office broke the fourth wall. You know, they would look at the camera a lot, but in the last season, they actually started like talking to the cameraman. They gave an explanation of like, oh, they know they're making a documentary. I've always felt that way about these films, Rob. So like, what are we supposed to believe when she looks at us and says something? I mean, I'll be really interested to see how they handle that. I get that it's funny and I get that it's a cool storytelling technique. And I know Deadpool has done this, but I'm just curious, like, so now am I supposed to believe that the characters know they're being filmed or watched? I know I'm way overthinking that, but that's where my brain struggles with that thing.
I hear you. It can kind of break the illusion on some level. Like, I think that's one of the interesting things with Deadpool is there are parts where it's like, well, if he's narrating the story and aware of the story, and it works there because it's such a comedy, but like it can pull you out of the dramatic stakes some.
One of my favorite things about the MCU is that it feels really real to me. Like, I know it's not real, but the best thing about it is like, okay, if there were superheroes, what would they be like? And now I'm watching it. So I'm also like, but now do I want to be taken out of that realness by acknowledging that I'm here watching? I don't know. Anyways, we'll see.
Yeah. I should say, and we've said this before, She-Hulk really is the one that debuted that concept within Marvel Comics. And so Deadpool has kind of become famous for it primarily because of the way Reynolds does it so well in the movies. But like, if you look at a lot of the famous She-Hulk covers, even it's her like with a speech bubble speaking to the reader, being like,
sure,
buy this comic, or then within the comic, she'll talk like to the writer or to the artist. Right. And so I do think it's important that they included that, but I hear you.
Well, and I thought it was really funny in the trailer, so I'm not even saying it doesn't work. I'm curious to see how they handle that. The second most important takeaway of the phase four stuff was, oh my gosh, the Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer was it was one of the better trailers I've seen in years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am queen of the most powerful nation in the world, and my entire family is gone. Well, we are. Have I not given everything?
So this is not crazy news, you know, because we've known this movie has been coming out for a while. But just to catch everybody up, Black Panther Wakanda Forever does come out this year, November 8th. Yeah, I don't know. You and I were both so curious on how are they going to go about the death of Chadwick, and then how are they going to make that into the T'Challa going away story, right?
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know how that's going to happen. But I guess I never fully processed just how well they could handle the emotional side of that.
Yeah, man.
Like every time we talked about it, it was always on paper. It was just like, yeah, they could do this, they could do that. And now actually seeing it and seeing that the movie is going to like embrace that emotionally while still having, I thought, some of the coolest looking visuals. So it seems like they've stepped up the visuals from the first movie, which is one of the complaints I have about that first film.
Right.
And I like how they're embracing the emotional side of it. And then, by the way, one of the coolest musical trailers ever, to have the song merge into the second song and slowly go from, we're going to be all right, like,
oh man,
so cool. Yeah. I get chills still to this day, having watched the trailer 10 times, when it shows, I think, Namor like floating down to his throne and the music's kind of like climaxing.
Yeah.
Looks so cool. And then the obvious question being, at the end of the trailer, who's in the Black Panther suit? So that's kind of my, like, the night of, that's all my, like, geek out thoughts right there. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and I mean, you just said one massive thing, which is we saw Namor for the first time. And that, you know, there have been all these rumors. He's been confirmed and not confirmed to appear. And I love that. It as with, I feel like I'm going to be saying this over and over again, so I should just stop saying it. there are so many great Black Panther stories that I'll always be really sad that we can't see Chadwick be a part of. And one of the great relationships in Marvel Comics over the last 10 or 20 years has been the way that they've done the T'Challa and Namor rivalry, and the kind of different ways that they approach the kingship, but the ego that they both kind of have about it. And I'm just really sad that we don't see Chadwick's T'Challa in that role, but I'm so excited to see them exploring that relationship. And I feel like there's just so much to be done there. I love that that's the project that Namor is going to be introduced in, because that's the context in which I think I'm most interested in him as a character. But there are a ton of implications even there, because I don't, you know, you may or may not know this, but in the comics, Namor is a mutant. And so that could be a thing, given that what we now know about Ms. Marvel, that they explore, whether they make that explicit or not.
And Robbie, I have to add, we didn't bring this up during the She-Hulk thing, but, you know, they're talking about the rise in these individuals that are more unique, and they never say mutant, but you just have to wonder if, like, it's a slow process here, you know? Like, that was brought up in that trailer. So if that comes out here, that's not that shocking to me.
That's true. That's one of the big questions that I have as we walk through all of the projects that we're about to walk through.
Hold on to that question, because that was one of my questions at the end of all this.
Okay, fair. I totally agree with you. The visuals for Black Panther that we got in that trailer, the emotion, it is my ideal trailer in that it gave us so little in terms of plot. Like, we know some of the players now that we didn't, but it gave us like the emotional cues I feel like it was respecting the loss of Chadwick and the character in the way that it needs to, while also setting up some genuinely exciting new things. And it's like sparked a ton of discussion. Like, everyone's now debating. I mean, we've known for a long time that there would have to be a new Black Panther, but now it's the debate, is who is it wearing the suit at the end? And I actually don't know what your take is on that. Who do you, if you had to put money on it, who do you think it is?
Oh gosh, you're going to do that to me?
I'm going to do it.
It's hard to separate who I want it to be. I want it to be Nakia, but it's got to be Nakia, I guess.
I want it and think that it will be Nakia.
I read your take on Slack. I agree. Like, Shuri could take it because she's family, but they've also set that character up to be like the tech person. It doesn't seem like she would go from that to like Black Panther in my brain. Whereas Nakia, they set up that she's been out there like fighting for people.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, I think Shuri acts a lot more like Nakia. Like, the way that the MCU has done Shuri is very different. Like, in the comics, she's a lot more serious. In some ways, she's like even more aggressive than T'Challa. Like, it's just a different character. At least, you know, post MCU, I think they're trying to kind of make the comics version more like the MCU, which always happens. But yeah, I think that the people point to that as evidence of like, well, in the comics, Shuri becomes Black Panther. But I think that it would be such a different vibe. Like, it would be weird to make Shuri Black Panther and lose the kind of like jokiness that she has. But it would also be weird to have a Black Panther that's that jokey, because that's just not really the character.
Nakia screams Black Panther. I mean,
oh man. And
go
it's
back
Lupita.
And watch the first movie, like, again. You'll be like, yeah, it makes yeah. And you're giving it to like a home run. Like, they're all amazing actors, but she's known as like a top level, you know?
Yeah. If she's interested, like if she's willing to sign up for what would probably be, you know, a longer term commitment, then Marvel, I think, would be crazy to not run with that. Like, what an incredible lead. I think someone that could really bring the same kind of spirit that Chadwick brought. She seems, I said this on Slack, like in the interviews I've seen with her, like genuinely invested in the Black Panther franchise and the stories that they've been telling. So I would be so excited if it winds up being her. I also wouldn't be surprised if we maybe get different people in the suit throughout the movie, and if there are some red herrings thrown out a la Infinity War. But
we're gonna be all right, right? We're
man. Also, right, right. Candace and I got to see Kendrick in concert last week for the first time. And
oh, good timing.
Oh man, it was incredible. That I could do a whole episode just reviewing that concert, but we won't. But just know that it was incredible.
Please do. I felt a similar way as I did to She-Hulk, which is that I'm very excited about Black Panther. But I was, you know, it was probably the lowest. Let me put it this way. If you had asked me on January 1, rank the films from this year that you'll be most excited about, I would have gone probably Doctor Strange, Thor, Black Panther. And now, in hindsight, it's just crazy to me that there's a chance that that could flip, you know? There's
right.
a chance that I end up feeling the most pumped about that film. And I think the reason I was a little bit unsure about it was the obvious question mark, right? No T'Challa. But if right. this is how they're going to handle it, I don't know. The
it's
trailer,
like
it's one trailer, but it gave me a lot of positive vibes.
Well, it's like if we had lost RDJ right before Iron Man 3, like, what does it mean to be looking forward to Iron Man 3 at that point? Because you just don't even know what that would look like. But yeah, I think, and you have always been such a T'Challa fan. Like, you are one of the, like, in our oldest conversations, more so than a Black Panther movie fan, like a T'Challa fan.
See, I know. And I'm so sad that we've lost Chadwick. That's the most important thing. But yeah, it bothers me a lot that we lost T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How they handled that was always going to be a really important thing to me. Obviously to everybody, but I was sensitive about that for sure.
Can I, before we close out phase four, which is actually going to be a big part of our discussion too, can I ask you one crazy speculation question that I saw on the internet?
Cue Kevin Malone.
Warning.
Okay, so somebody brought up, I'm not going to say anything in terms of the amount of weight that I give this, but I just thought it was an interesting idea. Someone brought up that at the end of Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan's Killmonger is not buried, but thrown into the ocean. It's also fair to recognize that Killmonger had the Black Panther, like the heart-shaped herb, in him. And so even though he may have died or appeared to die, it might be that he has some healing capabilities that we've kind of seen show up even through Chadwick. And three, given that he was put into the ocean with the heart-shaped herb in his system, could it be that the Atlanteans found him, that he's maybe still alive?
They're not going to be called Atlanteans, by the way.
Oh, are they not?
Yeah, I just saw in the merchandise, actually, that they're going to be called Talokan?
Oh, interesting.
Atlanteans. Not to correct you, but I know what you're saying. But I guess originally that's more of like Aztec roots, which is kind of cool.
I like that.
And yeah, and I guess like that name is derived from like a paradise realm from Aztec mythology. So very similar to Atlantis. Like maybe they're even searching for Atlantis, but that's kind of cool, I think. Anyways,
that is
keep
cool.
going. What's the third point about Michael B. Jordan?
Well, and just that if he was thrown into the ocean and did survive, he might have been found by these people that live in the ocean, and that could be the start of some of these connections.
Look, we got to have some integrity here. I mean, come on. Look, it is such a bummer that they didn't end that story differently with him surviving. Because we've said this a million times, that's the most obvious slam dunk to take over Black Panther had they not killed him.
Right.
But that entire movie, his death was so foundational to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if they retcon, it will just feel like they don't have integrity to the story. Like they're truly just, that's okay. That's my opinion, obviously.
No, I don't think
they're going to do that, and I don't want them to do that.
I would way, way, way prefer the Lupita route. I just think that it's an interesting given how much people have kind of mourned the fact that Michael B. Jordan was killed off, you know, when he could have been a real asset at this point, I agree right. that it's better to honor that story moment. And I think that there are just, frankly, more interesting things to do with Nakia as Black Panther than putting Killmonger in that role. The other thing that I wanted to mention now that I'm thinking about the Namor stuff is just that I wonder if this does wind up connecting to those throwaway lines in Endgame. That Okoye, whenever she's giving Natasha the update towards the beginning of the movie, they talk about the earthquakes underwater, and there's that whole exchange. And I feel like that's going to wind up being connected to this, which is kind of fun.
I kind of would love that. Yeah. Also, them all hanging on the side of that whale looked so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they'll handle it better than I feel like Aquaman was handled. That's my hope.
Right.
I just don't want a lot of like people floating underwater with like their hair going up, you know, like the fake, like, hey, we're doing this whole thing underwater. I don't know. They just have to visualize it better than that, please.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Hugh James Cameron coming in with his underwater expertise.
Okay. So that's basically phase four. So to reiterate here, August 10th, I Am Groot shorts, August 17th, She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Then Marvel has their panel at Disney's conference called D23 in September. And I bring that up just because I do think that they're still saving a few announcements for that. So towards the end of this episode, I'll get to some of the things that were missing from Comic-Con. And I do think that some things are maybe being saved for that moment. Sometime this fall, they are going to do a Werewolf by Night Halloween special. And sometime this winter, there's a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, both of which we're putting the correct amount of weight on right now. Like, okay, we'll see it. We'll see.
Right.
You know, I think they're fun little side stories. So,
I do have one question for you then, as we're coming out of it. I think one of the more interesting announcements of the whole night was just the fact that we have these phases now distinguished. Like a couple of weeks ago, you and I were having the debate of how long is phase four going to go on? Well, you just told us that phase four was ending this year. So,
So I was kind of right, by the way, when I said that they were going to end it. I guessed that.
It's right. Which I like is kind of crazy, because if you look back, the phases have always ended either officially or kind of unofficially with a big Avengers movie.
Sure.
Phase two technically ended with Ant-Man, but there was Age of Ultron right before that. Phase three technically ended with Far From Home, but it was really Endgame. And so there really hasn't been and won't be that moment in phase four. So that kind of makes it unique from at least the others, but I guess not from the phases to come. The question I was going to ask you is, do you think that the end of phase four is Black Panther or Guardians? Because I keep seeing that Black Panther is what Kevin said will be the final movie. And so is Guardians the palate cleanser, like Ant-Man Far From Home to Wakanda Forever?
Again, I'm just thinking that it's hard to walk away from this not feeling like that is a way smaller deal than we ever thought, correct? Like, it feels like it's totally just an afterthought fun thing.
The
same
Guardians?
With the Werewolf by Night. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Maybe when they first announced it, we kind of thought they'd put some importance in that. Like, oh my gosh, that's going to be the whole Gamora thing and stuff. And now, as we've gotten closer and closer, I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to be like a little goofy side story kind of thing. Am I crazy? Like, they're not putting any emphasis on it, period.
Not yet. I mean, they're not yet, for sure. I mean, there's still time. I mean, it doesn't make sense, I guess, to really pump up a Christmas thing until we get closer to the holidays. But I could see what you're... I still think it would be nice to use that as connective tissue, but I don't want to get my hopes up.
So that's phase four, but that's literally only halfway. So before we dive into phase five and six, there's a few things I want to tell you about. If you are enjoying what you are listening to, please, 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 please subscribe and follow this podcast. I know we say it every week, but it truly means a lot to us if you would do that. It makes the episodes easier for you to get on your phones or your devices. And so follow us if it's Spotify, subscribe to us if it's Apple, and whatever the other version of that is on all the other platforms, please do it. Friends from Work, wherever you get your podcasts. And I got to tell you that our website, the FFWpodcast.com, has been recently updated. And on that, Robbie, we made an announcement that we have a new Thor Love and Thunder themed Friends from Work shirt and tank top.
Yeah, we do.
Like 2 weeks ago. And so I am giving you two final chances to get orders in for that shirt while supplies last. At this point, we may be out. But if you want to get one, which I think they look so cool, yeah, it's probably the most excited I've been to wear one of our own merchandise items. Go to the FFWpodcast.com. I think it's /shop or just click on shop and you can still order one now. The only other time I'm going to open this window for ordering is when we do our Thor Love and Thunder reflection episode next week. So you don't have a whole lot of time. Hop on there now. There's a few left. Get one and you're not going to regret it. I can't wait to wear it myself.
They look very dope.
They do. So cool. My last announcement on the Friends from Work side is that Friends from Work Plus, which is our bonus content, is expanding. So you can still subscribe to Friends from Work Plus through Patreon, and that's great. We love that. It's $4.99 a month, and it's just more content for your ears and sometimes for your eyes. We can communicate with you via Patreon and your email in that way, and you get some other perks like discounts off said merchandise, some artwork prints, and a few things that Robbie and I are planning. But now you can also subscribe to Friends from Work Plus on Apple Podcasts directly on your phone. And so if you want the convenience factor of just clicking on subscribe and getting all the bonus content right there on the same app without doing anything else, check out Friends from Work Plus on Apple subscriptions as well.
Something I wanted to talk about briefly is this partnership that we're so excited about right now with organic priced books for your comic collections. And it's fun to talk about in an episode like this because, like we said a couple episodes ago, there's a great collection on there right now of Jason Aaron Thor that covers basically everything that we saw in Love and Thunder that you can get that's incredible. There's another Thor hardcover covering the death of Jane Foster that we're going to be covering in the Comics Corner. So there's a lot of stuff there with what we've been talking about, but there's also a lot there that you can get if you're excited about some of the projects that were announced, even Black Panther, like we were just talking about. You can get the Ta-Nehisi Coates Black Panther in full and an omnibus. They have different collections. A lot of the stories that I think are going to wind up being mined in this film and moving forward with that series, those are available on Organic Price Books.
Yeah, and even as not a comics guy, Organic Price Books is dope. And so I know you hear us talk about a lot of things, but I really think if you read comics and especially these collections, you really should check them out via organicpricebooks.com. And I'm being serious about that. And if you tell them that we sent you, everybody wins. You save some money. They know that we sent you and we can keep representing Organic Price Books. So please check out Organic Price Books and use our promo code, which you can find in these show notes right now, to save you some money.
So that's code Friends from Work to get an additional discount. And just remember, the great thing about Organic Price Books is you are getting great books shipped well for about as cheap as you will ever find them, and you are supporting a local comic shop all at the same time. So it's one that we're really excited about. Go check that out. Let us know what you think.
Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Robbie, I actually just hosted a friend of a friend from New York, and guess what? They worked for Squarespace. And guess what, Robbie? They were one of the nicest people ever. And that's because Squarespace is such a dope company. If you are looking to build a website or register a domain, check out squarespace.com and use our promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK to save money off that website and domain. Both Robbie and I have used Squarespace for all of our endeavors. My band, his band, this podcast, Candace even uses Squarespace. And that's because it's so easy to use and they have incredible, very powerful tools to help you in your journey. If you don't know a whole lot about making websites, Squarespace makes that easy for you. And I'm living proof that you can use their commerce tools as well, because all of this merchandise is purchased, registered, inventory is tracked, and shipped all through Squarespace. And I've had an easy time doing that. It's been a very enjoyable process. So again, go to squarespace.com and use our promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK to save some money off a website or domain. Okay, so now we get to talk about phase five and phase six. So here we go. Breaking news again. Marvel sat down and started talking about phase five and six. Now, obviously, because these are further away, and as they get further and further away from this date, we have less and less to say about each one, because at that point, it'd be pure speculation. So let me just go through some of these, Robbie, and we may only have a sentence or two, but that's okay. That's all we know right now. But I want people to know some of the big takeaways from the Comic-Con. So next up, and kicking off Phase 5, on February 17th of 2023, next year, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Now, this is one that I pointed out I'm very excited about. And like Black Panther, like you're going to see with Guardians, there was a little clip showed of Ant-Man and the Wasp here. And man, it's just crazy. Leave it to Marvel to take one of their goofiest characters and make him the centerpiece of so much of this stuff. Why do I say that? Because we know Kang is going to be in that. And the one clip, apparently the line that Kang utters is so badass. Do you know what it is, Robbie?
It's
so cool. Oh, the one thing that I haven't seen this again because it's not released publicly, but apparently there's a scene in the trailer where Kang says to, I think, Ant-Man, I'm not sure. He says, what, are you an Avenger? Have I killed you before?
Oh pretty man. Badass. Pretty badass. That's incredible. And it's Jonathan Majors, which everyone that listens to this podcast knows I am fully obsessed with at this point. That gets me pumped.
I know. I'm smiling right now because, I mean, I'm weirdly excited for that movie already anyways. I don't know, like, it's hard to gauge why I feel the way I do sometimes. But that's one that for some reason I've been pumped about. I think I just wanted some follow-up on the Loki finale, which I thought was like the coolest 10 seconds ever from the moment he gets stabbed. And we haven't got any follow-up yet. And so to know that that's coming gets me very excited. Plus, I'm just obsessed with Paul Rudd. So this is a win in my book.
Right. Fair.
The next thing announced in early 2023, so this doesn't have a specific date yet, is Secret Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that I read about this at the Comic-Con was Colby Smulders, who's going to reprise her role as Maria Hill.
Nice.
She's made a comment that this is darker and more of a thriller than you're thinking.
Love that. I love that. That's another example of something that, like, She-Hulk feels like getting back to a core part of the MCU that we just haven't spent time in a bit. Like, for so long, and I'm not saying that we need to go back to this fully or anything, but the MCU was so kind of S.H.I.E.L.D.-based, and we got a lot of Nick Fury and or people that were connected to Nick Fury, like, all the way through the end of Phase 2. They even wound up playing a big part in Age of Ultron. But then really, since Phase 3, we just haven't had that be a huge part. We did for Far From Home, but even that felt a bit removed compared to kind of prior projects. And so I get really excited to, like, check back in with Fury and see, like, his take on everything that's gone on, because we've actually only seen Talos playing Nick Fury. We haven't actually seen Nick Fury or heard dialogue from Nick Fury since the events of Endgame.
Right. Somewhere in this range, we think season 2 of What If will slot in, but they didn't talk about that. They also didn't talk anything about Spider-Man freshman year. And again, I think they are saving some of the stuff for Disney Plus Day and the D23 Expo, so that could make a ton of sense. Secondly, from what we did hear about freshman year, it really seems like this is happening in a slightly different universe. Have you heard this?
I have.
And so then it makes me wonder if, in general, can we assume a lot of the animated stuff is going to be a different universe?
Yeah.
I don't hate that, by the way, at all.
Agreed. I'm a little mixed on Spider-Man freshman year being in a different universe. I think it's ultimately better because it's sort of like some of my complaints with Obi-Wan. Like, whenever you know the beginning and end point of a character and you're slotting them in like that, it gets a little hard to tell compelling stories. It's one of the things I think Black Widow did really well. But so I do kind of like that they now have more creative freedom. And that looks like it's going to be giving us a really fun Spider-Man animated series, which I love because the big twist here, apparently, is that instead of Tony Stark being the mentor that finds Peter and kind of carries him forward, it's Norman Osborn, and he looks like classic, straight-up comic Norman Osborn. It's not like an animated Willem Dafoe or something like that. So that's also like the character designs we've gotten. It looks like they're drawing on a lot of kind of classic Spider-Man vibes. So it does look really fun.
One, it's not Tom Holland. So again, you know, you could kind of retcon that and just look past that. But I think it's kind of fun to leave it as Tom Holland is Spider-Man in our universe.
Yeah.
Secondly, yeah, like you said, we already know Tom Holland's story for the most part. And to go back and make like Uncle Ben a huge important factor, or like you said, Osborn be a big deal, that doesn't feel right because we've already gotten his story. And third, they should totally just bring back the guy who voiced Peter Parker in What If, because I thought he did such a good job.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree.
So good. Anyways, moving on with the Hall H announcements. So now we're caught up to about spring of 2023. The next thing is going to be May 5th, 2023, and that's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Guardians of the Galaxy, like I said, like Black Panther, like She-Hulk, showed a clip to people there, one that I have not seen. But one thing I wanted to point out here that I found very interesting, Robbie, is between Guardians getting up there and talking about how this is the end of their trilogy and Black Panther getting up there and having made a follow-up movie without Chadwick, man, there were some really emotional moments. Like, if you watch the interviews with the Guardians, they're tearing up. They're very serious about it. And I think seeing the footage for the first time is so powerful to these actors because they haven't seen it. I think the same with Black Panther. I don't think they'd even seen that. And so I just was struck by how emotional those two projects in particular got everybody.
I have read accounts from people that saw the Guardians footage that said that they straight up sobbed through it. So I think that the footage itself is apparently somewhat emotional, at least.
Chris Pratt talked about how a large chunk of this film is going to be about him wrestling with Gamora being different now. You know, like Gamora being gone and having to kind of start that relationship over. And I'm interested to see maybe what like a little bit more of a jaded Quill looks like. And by the way, I need to add that with Ant-Man too. They gave a description to Ant-Man in Quantumania, and they talked about how Ant-Man has been so distracted with his newfound fame that he's neglecting some of his family duties. I read that somewhere. That's what a large part of the film's about. So it
that's
seems like those two films, I know, right? Like, I don't even know how that hits you. In this one little clip, there's a shot of Scott Lang reading his own book, like with a big smile on his face. So that'll be interesting to see how they kind of handle that. And then same kind of here, like the Star-Lord Gamora thing and how Star-Lord's handling that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't love it. We'll see.
Man, I saw something about Quantumania like that. And I have very mixed feelings about that. It gives me like Iron Man 2 vibes, but
the family dynamic was so fun for Scott Lang, you know. So if they say that he's now like abusing that, I mean, that was the whole point of the first movie was, right? Like he's got to get his life together to take his family seriously. It would feel a lot like Jim and Pam almost getting divorced, you know. It's like, really?
yeah. Well, it's like the, I mean, that moment in Endgame, which is already a little bit undermined in a bummer way because of the change in actors. But I get it. But that would further undermine that moment because it's such a beautiful part of that movie and the transition to kind of the solution and like that, you know, Scott's a big part of Endgame and he, a big part of that is like his own relationship with his daughter and his family. And so I would hate to see, but it seems like maybe they recognize that and that'll still wind up being central to the story just in a way that I would not have expected.
But yeah, back to Guardians. I know you hate the Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'll take it back for us. But you know, I love Guardians 1. I don't really like Guardians 2, but no matter how you feel about those films, I love the fact that the cast and James Gunn feel this much ownership over something. Like, listening to James Gunn talk, it's like, okay, he loves this. And that matters to me. It does. So I hope they land the plane beautifully. I am pumped about this film. You know how much I love the Guardians, and I know how much you hate them. So I'm excited, and I can't wait to see where this goes.
Where
that's
this
May
narrative coming from that I hate the Guardians.
You know exactly where it's coming from. Don't play. Okay, anyway, sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm attacking. Shots fired. He's catching strays. May 5th, 2023. Summer of 2023. Echo and Loki season 2. The thing to add there is that our boys, Daredevil, Kingpin, reprising their roles in Echo.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that Daredevil, I knew Kingpin was. I didn't know Daredevil was.
So here we are, you know, Charlie Cox, She-Hulk, No Way Home, and now Echo.
Man, this is just so fun because in 2018, when Daredevil was canceled and this whole movement to bring Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio back started, it was like the MCU was so concerned with so many other things that it just felt impossible. Like, we were, Infinity War had come out or was coming out, and then Endgame and Captain Marvel and Far From Home, like, we were doing such different things that I never thought there would be a world where not only did they bring it back, but they folded it in so heavily. And that makes me so excited. I love it.
Me too, because I was a Daredevil denier. Then I went back and watched it, and now I am a truther. And, dude, I'm pumped about it. I kind of hope Kingpin carries over a similar vibe from the show. I'm excited to see what Vincent does with the character. I know he himself believes he is doing the same character, so I love that.
Uh-huh.
So I know he's coming from that headspace anyways. I hope Charlie Cox feels the same way, that he's bringing over the same character. And again, I've been fully converted because if you go back and watch Daredevil season one and specifically season one and three, there's very little that actually conflicts with the MCU, right? They're even referencing the MCU. Right. I didn't know at the time how much it could be tied in. And so I've become a truther. So excited to see him there. Excited to see the Echo story furthered. And then Loki season two. Nothing to add here, but we'll see what that looks like.
I'm excited for that. Especially because, like, do we know that it's Kang specifically that's taken over at the end of Loki, or do we know that it's just one of the variants of that person that is He Who Remains and also Kang? Like, do we know that it's the same character from Quantumania?
I think that's the whole point, is that it's all his variants. And I don't know what that means, but remember, he's the one guy that figures out how to, like, you know, rein in time and do this travel.
Right.
And that's what Kevin Feige actually talked about at the Comic-Con, was that the big difference between him and Thanos is the tons of versions of him and how that could be a different kind of villain, which again actually gets me so freaking pumped because it is different, Robbie. Like,
right,
we wanted not just a bigger bad, and maybe he will be stronger. I don't know that. But, like, this is a totally different vibe to me. Multiversal. Even the way he gets taken down in Loki, right? He's not stronger, but he's like, see you soon. And here we are seeing him soon.
It's like Thanos was physically stronger than everybody else. He had this, like, intimidation factor, but it's like Kang has this level of knowledge and ability that's above everybody else. It's like a different, it is a different villain. I like that.
Then they confirmed the Marvels releases on July 28th, 2023. So that's the summer film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're pumped about that.
I do want to add that right after we recorded our episode, it was confirmed that the credit scene from Ms. Marvel was filmed by Nia DaCosta, the director of the Marvels.
Yeah, I read that too. Yeah.
That was a question we raised in that episode. And that makes me really excited because I felt like that one scene with Carol is actually the best scene we've ever gotten with Carol.
That's good news. Yeah. If it had been the Ms. Marvel directors, I'd be like, wow, they handled that well, but bummer they're not continuing that forward.
Right.
But maybe this is a glimpse into what that's going to be like. I'm very excited about it now. Then the November movie, November 3rd, 2023, is Blade, which we still know nothing about other than confirming that that slot is Blade.
And Mahershala.
And I think they're just continuing that other branch of the MCU, you know? the like sword fighting branch.
Right.
Yeah. And then fall of 2023, Riri Williams and Ironheart, which I just got to point out, she makes a cameo in Black Panther.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
I did. Okay, good. I did. That's exciting.
They did the little Easter egg of she's pounding on a metal piece just in the exact same way as Tony Stark
Man.
In the first Iron Man, you know?
I love that.
Moving on, in the winter of 2023, so we're now talking over a year away now, Agatha, Coven of Chaos. I want to get your take on this. One of our listeners, Ahmed, shout out England, by the way, which is dope. He was up at 2 in the morning doing the Twitter spaces with
us. Oh, wow. Love that.
But he brought up this really interesting discussion in talking about just the genealogy and the origin of this show in particular, and how this Agatha show almost feels the closest they've been to fan reactionary.
Huh.
If WandaVision had not been successful, would this show even exist? I think clearly the answer is no. And I don't know how many other shows you could say that about, right? Like, Maybe Loki got a show because he was so popular, you know? But, like, anyways, that'll be interesting to see. Like, this is not a show that I was dying for, even as the most diehard WandaVision fan there is in the world, on the face of the earth. This is not a show that I need, I don't think. So hopefully they'll surprise me, but what's your take on all that?
I think we're on the same page. So historically, I've always had a problem with properties taking a really great side character or even villain from one property and then making them the forefront of a new one. Now, I think like Loki is different because Loki was given so much development over the course of the Infinity Saga. But here, I think that like my worry is that everybody really loved what Catherine Hahn did in this specific way. And it's just like, oh, well, let's just have more of that. But I just don't know if that actually, if there's a story there or if they're just coming up with a story to justify giving us more Catherine Hahn.
Yeah. Neil brought up something amazing too, which is that everybody, I think, loves Catherine Hahn as the nosy neighbor. That's where she excelled.
Yeah.
It was maybe there were maybe a few questions about the witch stuff. And so it'll be interesting to see, can she carry this show as the witch side of things, you know?
That's a great point. Do we know when the show is set? Like, is it a sequel to WandaVision or could it be a prequel potentially?
I do not know. Maybe someone does, but I do not.
Because, I mean, just to remind our listeners that have not watched these shows a million times, like we have WandaVision ends with Wanda basically like imprisoning her in the nosy neighbor persona. So if it were to pick up right after WandaVision, she would be that nosy neighbor still.
Yeah. So then continuing with the Phase 5 stuff, this was one of the biggest announcements of the night. Spring of 2024, Daredevil, Born Again. Listen to me, Robbie. 18 episodes.
Holy
cow. Not of three seasons, 18 episodes of one season, which as the biggest Daredevil fan, I'm so pumped about, but so is that too much? Is that too much? We thought maybe 12 was too much or 13.
It's one season. Do we know how it's going to be released or broken up?
No.
Could it be like Stranger Things where it's like one season in multiple parts?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they're giving the people what they want.
That's a lot of episodes, man. That's like going back to the 90s.
I don't want to spoil anything about that show. Really interested to see how they handle the Daredevil Kingpin vibe, because at that point we will have gotten like what, Robbie, 15 hours of screen time of the showdown between Kingpin and Daredevil Marvel series. And then the fact that he's making an appearance in Echo, right? Then we're going to get 18 episodes of it. I think it could be kind of fun to have Kingpin be around and be a constant thorn in his side while still introducing another person as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I really hope that, I guess we already know this in that he's been in Hawkeye, he'll be in Echo and he'll be in Daredevil. So even that is a long-ish arc for a villain within the MCU. But I would love if they let him stick around even further. Like the Kingpin is such a presence in the Marvel Comics universe particularly in the Daredevil and Spider-Man worlds. I would love for him to come up against Spider-Man at some point. That would like fulfill every childhood Spider-Man fan wish that I ever had, because the Kingpin was such a big part of that 90s animated series. So I would love that. I would love the Daredevil and Spider-Man team-ups against Kingpin. Like, I want as much as they're going to give us, because Vincent D'Onofrio owns this character so well. And I think people that are not familiar with the Netflix stuff, once they see him here, like, especially within the MCU proper, I think he's immediately going to go up to a lot of people's top five MCU villains list.
Oh, he'd be up there for me. I got to think about that now, Rob.
What's interesting about this announcement is the series is called Daredevil Born Again. I don't know if you and I have talked about this. Season 3 of the Netflix show loosely adapted the comic Daredevil Born Again. So I had kind of thought that they were going to go for like a Daredevil Man Without Fear, which has been like a caption of the comic. It's also, it's in the title of another Frank Miller comic. But I do get the kind of double entendre of the Born Again usage here, given that he's crossed over to a new property. And there are parts of that story I would be really interested to see if they want to kind of dig into more and further adapt. So I'm looking forward to what that can mean, but I'm also interested to see if they stray from that and bring in, like, do we get Bullseye? And if we get Bullseye, do we get Bullseye from the show, or do we get a new take on Bullseye? Like, stuff like that. I'm like, do we, I'm curious to see how much
carries
over.
Or do we get the Colin Farrell Bullseye?
Yeah, let's get the, what if they had announced this and it turns out it was actually
Ben Affleck? This whole time, he pulls off his mask. We're like, what? It's Batman.
They would simultaneously piss off every Marvel and DC fan all in one fell swoop.
Oh, I can't wait to do some more Daredevil talk on Friends from Work Plus before we get to that series. That'll be fun. And by the way, organic price books. If you want to get caught up, that might be a good chance.
Yes.
There's a lot of Daredevil stuff. I know Daredevil is some of your favorite comics, so that's a good chance to do that.
It's true.
And then finalizing the Phase 5 announcement, Captain America New World Order with Sam Wilson on May 3rd, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And Thunderbolts, July 26, 2024. And that is what Kevin declared as the end of Phase 5.
Wow. That's kind of crazy that just looking at it, seeing Thunderbolts as the end, talking about our earlier conversations about phases normally ending with Avengers and Thunderbolts kind of being a Dark Avengers team. That's kind of fun.
Then the big bombshell, Kevin came back out and he said, you know what? Let's talk Phase 6. So here we go. This was some of the stuff that we did not know. Kicking off Phase 6, Fantastic Four on November 8th, 2024. The only other things he said from Phase 6, and this was the biggest announcement of the whole night, on May 2nd, 2025, just a few short months after the Fantastic Four film, which will be a huge deal, Avengers, The Kang Dynasty, directed by Destin Daniel Cretton. And then get this, Robbie, not one Avengers movie, but two Avengers movies in the same year, with Avengers Secret Wars releasing on November 7th, 2025. So just as a high-level thing really quickly, Robbie, think about if the other untitled movies in Phase 6, because there were a few more, by the way.
Right.
What if the untitled film is Spider-Man 4? Can you imagine a year with Fantastic Four, Spider-Man 4, and two Avengers movies?
Insane.
I mean,
insane.
That would be, that would literally be the biggest year of Marvel ever, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I always have these debates about what the best years were. I think 2018's a real contender. I think 2014's a real contender, but I think that would have potential. I think we should talk about each of these. Like you said, one thing that I thought was interesting is he announced those three projects, but we also have found out that there will be like a Disney Plus series that we don't know the title to in fall of 2024 before Fantastic Four. There's going to be another one after Fantastic Four, another one after that, an untitled Marvel movie, like those through. So there are like...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That wasn't brought up at Comic-Con, but yeah, there's still room for more stuff there.
And there's tons of speculation about what each of those are, and I'm sure we'll get into that in future episodes as things kind of shape up. But
we know virtually nothing more about Fantastic Four. I mean, I'm super, super pumped, but it's so far away. We don't really know the cast. I don't think a director has been confirmed, right? We had heard rumors of John Watts, then he was out.
Well, John Watts was confirmed for a while. And then yeah, he officially exited a couple months ago.
So, I mean, obviously pumped, but we'll see. And then the Avengers announcement didn't come with the Destin Daniel Cretton announcement at the same time. It was only a couple days later that was actually confirmed, which is wild. And, Robbie, I think it's important to note that Shang-Chi 2 is a notable absence from any of these films thus far. And part of me wonders, with this announcement, if Shang-Chi is going to feature heavily in this Avengers movie. And if that's the case, does this in a way replace Shang-Chi 2? I just think there's a chance of that.
Yeah, a lot of internet sleuths, and here I'm going to shout out Greg from the Slack because he's done a lot of this data collection for me, but people have found a list of trademarks that Marvel has filed for. And you are probably thinking this is getting kind of crazy, but the crazy thing is that list came out a bit ago, and then a lot of the movies that were announced did mirror like the first chunk of that list. So I think there's room for Marvel to be doing some of that stuff again as red herrings. Some of it might just be like a placeholder, but one of those titles was Shang-Chi and the Wreckage of Time. Again, that doesn't tell us anything about
date
or what that can mean. Isn't that a dope name?
That is a dope name. Why do I think that? That is a dope name.
And so the fact that there was at least filed this title dealing with Shang-Chi and time, and then the fact that the director of Shang-Chi is directing an Avengers movie about Kang, whose whole thing is time, does make me think that.
And the fact that it is only kind of in a way part one of the Avengers movies, right? So...
Yeah.
It's possible they focus it more on Kang and Shang-Chi, and then Secret Wars being more the multiversal side of it.
Right. I mean, because we have to, man, I mean, that's the interesting thing to me now is it was announced that he's directing Kang Dynasty. It was not announced who's directing Secret Wars. The only example we've had of something like this before was the Russos, obviously, and we always knew that they were doing both.
Which I think I heard that Kevin confirmed the Russos are not directing Secret Wars.
I saw that as well.
They didn't announce a director, but they confirmed it wasn't them, which kind of bums me out. But then you said something to me today that I thought was really smart. Tell our audience.
I was thinking, because we had talked about the Russos, they've said in interviews that they love Secret Wars and that they would love to work on that project if it ever came up. But I was just thinking, what Marvel had with the Russos in the Infinity Saga, I think one of the things that worked so well is they brought them in Winter Soldier and then started kind of, they walked through the Infinity Saga and expanded it from there. Like if you trace the arc, they were kind of all along the way, and it made a lot of sense that they finally took it all the way through, having started with the Cap character and then steadily expanded. And rather than put them back in a position where it's just going to be this, it's like what we've seen with Taika, constant comparisons between Love and Thunder and Ragnarok, rather than put them and Marvel in the position of just comparing what the Russos did there and what they did with Infinity War, that'll still happen to some degree anyway. I think it kind of makes sense to just try to do the same thing that the Russos did so well. And maybe that is, on the one hand, Destin Daniel Cretton. Maybe it's like Ryan Coogler for Secret Wars. Like maybe you're taking directors that have started working with their Captain America, you know, like the Russos, and maybe Shang-Chi becomes as central to these final Avengers films as Steve Rogers was to Infinity War or at least to Endgame.
And that was my last two questions. One, I love what Destin Daniel Cretton did with Shang-Chi, but we have never seen him balance a cast like that, right? We've never seen him do the ensemble movie. So that'll be really interesting to track.
That is,
because I think
it's
a complicated thing to do.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why there's always this debate. This debate's happened on our Slack about whether they should even consider ever giving something to the Russos or just do Fresh Blood moving forward. And I'm all for Fresh Blood, and I think that's one of the things that Kevin's actually done pretty well is giving up-and-coming directors shots. But you're totally right. I think that is an underrated skill to be able to carry that large of a cast so effectively. And I think that that's as much in the writing, you know, as it is in the directing. But yeah, I do. It's a big thing that you have to balance out. I know some people had kind of thrown out John Watts as maybe a potential for Secret Wars. And you know, he's kind of shown an ability to do that. He was working with a lot of different moving parts in No Way Home. That clearly worked out okay for him. I think that's it's right to want something like that. But
I don't know who I want for Secret Wars yet. I need to think on that. And I'll come up with somebody, I think. I'll come up with my official Kyle vote, okay?
Do you think it will be someone that has already or that will have already directed an MCU project?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I need more time.
Okay, fair. I'll give you that.
Well, I'm just thinking about like who that would even be, and I think my answer is no. I think if they were giving it to Destin, they would have announced both films, I think. Mm-hmm. They announce it's not the Russos. I don't think they're going to give that to Taika. Some of the one-offs they won't give it to, right? Like, I don't think they're going to give it to Kate Shortland from Black Widow. I don't think they'll give it like Joe Johnston. Joss Whedon's not coming back.
Right.
So I don't know. But then can you really fully bring in fresh blood on the last movie of the sixth phase?
I mean, that'd be it's a big swing at that point.
And if you do that, you definitely still need somebody like a Marcus McFeely. Like, who would be this phase is the multiversal saga? Who would be this version of Marcus McFeely? Because, like, you would still need somebody. Yeah, maybe. You would still need somebody to tie a lot of it together, I think. And, like, someone who knows the characters. That was my second question, which was, like, who's the Avengers team? And I love that we don't know. Yeah. I love that we don't know. I think it could be really fun to give it that much space, right? Because at that point, it will have been, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
And who can really rise to, like, Avengers level in 6 years? Is it She-Hulk? Is it Hulk? Is it Hawkeye? Has he come back? Is it Kate Bishop? Does she help? Miss Marvel?
Yeah.
Captain Marvel? Shang-Chi? Like, I'm excited to see how each one of those individual characters fills a Avengers-level role.
And I so agree. And I love that we're getting the Captain America film almost a full year, or no, a full year
Sam
before.
Wilson.
Yeah, like because I want to see him really step into that role more. I'm really excited about a Sam Wilson movie as opposed to a Disney Plus show. I really, just looking at this list of characters that we're going to have on the board and not knowing who will or won't be a quote-unquote Avenger, I love the personalities that we have now, and it's setting up a Marvel universe that's starting to feel weirdly comfortable to me as a comics reader. Like, it's like now that they've finally got all the rights back to certain properties and just the way things are shaping up, it's like we're looking at a more traditional Marvel universe almost, whereas for so long the MCU was going kind of off of a modernized, like, ultimate thing. But, like, having She-Hulk around, having Daredevil around, having Fantastic Four around, having a specific version of Spider-Man, like, it's funny because this is all so new and so unknown, but it also feels weirdly like there's a potential for Marvel Studios to suddenly be in its prime if it's done correctly.
All right, last thing on Phase 6. I'm going to call my shot. Call your shot. Here we go. I'm going to call my shot for a second. This is so early, so it'll be kind of fun to track. this just hit me. This is not what I want. This is just all of a sudden like a premonition, okay? This was me seeing it. I think two things. Now, there are a couple slots for untitled Marvel movies in 2024, I think, and early 2025 that could mess this up, okay? But my one prediction is I think that before Secret Wars, they're going to realize that the Avengers are really screwed without Wanda. And in desperation, they're going to go to Wanda as like a, hey, you can redeem yourself kind of thing. And she will have been gone this whole time and she'll kind of be called out of retirement for this or prison or wherever she is. And that will be her chance to redeem it. And then that will lead to a Scarlet Witch solo movie in phase seven. Now, if a solo movie happens in phase five, that screws me up, right? Or early phase six. But I think that's what's going to happen. Secondly, I'm not saying I want this or not. I absolutely think by the time we get to November of 2025 with Secret Wars, there will be a crazy Chris Evans or RDJ cameo. And the movie is not going to focus on them, but they're going to do a thing where as all the multiverses are clashing, like an Iron Man is going to show up and the helmet's going to come up and it's going to be RDJ.
Wow.
I'm almost positive of it. there's my two predictions. Same with Chris Evans.
Yeah. I would be okay with that. There were some interviews around Lightyear and the Gray Man where Chris Evans has really made clear that he does not want to return to the character unless it was something that wouldn't undo what he thought was a really powerful ending, which I agree with. But if it's a variant like that, that would be fun. I don't necessarily yearn for it, but I could see it being a fun moment.
Yep. So there you go. So that was a lot. That was basically everything they announced. But couple noticeable absences. Armor Wars has been getting a lot of talk because remember that show with Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
It did not get a date. And we still don't know when that's coming out. The director or the writer came out on social media and was like, it's still coming out, trust me. But that just got me thinking, like, again, between this and the fact that there's a Disney Plus day and a D23 Expo coming up, I think they're intentionally leaving some stuff out. But they didn't say anything about Armor Wars. They didn't say anything about Shang-Chi 2. They didn't confirm any Spider-Man 4. They didn't confirm a Doctor Strange 3. And they didn't confirm when What If Season 2 starts. They didn't confirm when X-Men 97 starts. One of the most interesting things to me was just the overall lack of mutant and X-Men talk, right? Like we went all the way through phase six and really didn't talk about them. Now, I do think there's a chance that some of these untitled movies could be that, but still just kind of wild. We haven't talked about that yet.
And it makes me wonder if they're going to save that as the big focus for phase seven, which I would be okay with.
It's a slow introduction for 5 years, basically.
Well, and if they bring, I mean, depending on how much they want to do this, if they connect Scarlet Witch with the X-Men the way that she has been in the past, that could be if your prediction proves true and she gets a solo movie in Phase 7 and Phase 7 does wind up being very X-Men focused, there could be some kind of connectivity there. Mind you, it would have to be totally different because we already know Wanda's origin is a bit different than that. But we do have a mutants movie that has been announced, right? It's just we don't know when that will ever be. But hasn't there been something, a film called The Mutants that is supposed to come out at some point?
I mean, I sincerely apologize for this. I'm being truthful here. There has been so much that I've been keeping track of. I have 2 pages of notes just to tell you those things, not to mention the things that I skipped over, like freshman year and stuff like that.
Right.
That I'm sure there probably was one and I just don't know right now.
So
it's somewhere in there.
Yeah. I think again, some of this was at Comic-Con. Some of it was announced in and around interviews with people at Comic-Con, but there is this list of projects that I believe, and I've seen these things around online, are confirmed to happen like Armor Wars, but just not given any timeline. And I think there's this Wakanda series we've talked about that's supposed to come out that I think Coogler is producing, but not necessarily directing, but don't call me on that. There's also an Okoye series that's supposed to come out. a Wonder Man series that we talked about briefly on one episode that is produced by Destin Daniel Cretton has been announced. There's Deadpool 3, which is in the writing stage right now. There have been some kind of fun interviews with the writers talking about how they're having a blast sort of incorporating the MCU into the Deadpool humor. I'm sure that's going to be something that a lot of people love and a lot of people hate whenever it happens. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a Shang-Chi 2 that's been confirmed in theory, but like we said before, who knows when or what that will look like. And then, yeah, I believe that there is an X-Men project that's currently going by the Mutants that has been confirmed, which kind of fits with the Ms. Marvel reveal. Final things that we know even less about. A Nova project at some point, a Ten Rings project at some point, and then a season 2 and a season 3 of all these animated series from X-Men 97 to Spider-Man to What If. So much. We just talked about so many projects, and then I just listed off like 10 more.
We have a lot of work to do. That was my big takeaway. We're going to be busy for a while. We're not going to be lacking for work.
Yep, we're not winding up anytime soon.
Here's how I want to wrap up today's episode, and I want to know legitimately from our audience, okay? Put you on the spot. What Phase 5 project are you most excited about, and what Phase 6 project are you right now most excited about? You, Robbie, and our listeners, write us the FFWpodcast.com or at the FFWpodcast on all social media or Patreon or Slack or whatever. But what is your most anticipated project right now of each phase?
Oh man, that's hard. I think for Phase 5, it's probably Daredevil.
I think I would say Daredevil. I love Daredevil, so that's probably my answer. But I'm gonna go with, man, either Guardians 3 or Ant-Man.
Yeah, seriously, I think Ant-Man would probably be, I don't know. That's the problem. I'm looking through all these, and the ones that I think it's easier for me to say the ones I'm super excited about, because it's not that I'm equally excited for everything, but the ones that really stand out are Daredevil, Ant-Man, Guardians 3, Secret Invasion, and the Marvels.
It'll also be really interesting to see if your opinion changes depending on how they handle Matthew Murdock in these other shows leading up to it, you know? Like, maybe True. It won't be everything you're wanting.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Everyone's, you know, on edge about, are they going to keep it as dark as it was? That's what everyone's on edge about.
Right.
So we'll see.
Which, honestly, I was thinking about this. One, I mean, Disney, they just put Deadpool and Deadpool 2 and Logan on the platform on Disney Plus. So they're showing a willingness to embrace things that go beyond what Disney would have allowed in prior years. But sure. I will also say, if the crazy thing about the Daredevil series is the only thing that really made it quote unquote dark in the way people are thinking is that it had just an insane level of violence. Like,
yeah,
it's
sure.
It's not that they were willing to take on like darker subjects necessarily, or it's just like, and I am kind of in the camp of like, I like how gritty it is. We've talked about liking a little bit more of that. I don't, if they pull that back a tad, you know, where
yeah,
someone's
you don't need all,
not,
yes,
I don't necessarily need to see someone decapitated with a car door,
correct,
to enjoy a Daredevil show personally.
No, that's a good point. If they can somehow keep the grittiness, you know, and keep the stakes without, yeah, literally need to see like a guy get his head beaten with a hammer. It's like, I'm fine. It's like the guy getting his head beaten with a hammer is not what makes Daredevil.
Right.
I hope.
Right.
If it does, you have a bad story.
Right.
But yeah, you don't want to lose the grittiness, the tension, all that, you know? So just for, you know, sake of being different, I'll say Ant-Man. And then Phase 6, I mean, I'm going to lean Secret Wars, obviously, just because I'm curious how this all culminates.
Yeah. Weirdly, and honestly, I kind of think Fantastic Four for me right now.
I love that.
And that might, you know, all of this might shift, but I just, I'm so excited. I love that that's coming towards the beginning of that phase. I love that it's coming before Secret Wars because, you know, Secret Wars is,
yes,
is a lot of Reed Richards and Dr. Doom. Like, that's a big part of that story.
And just in general, I love that they're going to set themselves up to do so much multiversal work before that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like they're rushing to Secret Wars at this point.
No, which I love and is going to make for so much fun Comics Corner reading, which is to say, holy cow, I'm looking at this list of projects and we're going to have so much going on Friends from Work Plus between Daredevil rewatches. Inevitably, we're going to wind up doing some X-Men rewatches over there. And then all the comic stuff leading up to Secret Wars. Those are some of my favorite comics. We're going to do a total complete read through of those Hickman comics. This is going to be a fun period where we are probably not going to have nearly enough time to do everything that we want to do.
Who are we kidding? Before every major project. I mean, we're going to get to Ant-Man. We'll be like, well, we need to watch all the Ant-Man movies and probably Endgame. And, you know, you'll get to Captain Marvel and you'll be like, well, I got to watch Captain Marvel and I got to watch Miss Marvel. I mean, I'm this close, Robbie, just so you know, Anik and I are this close to just rewatching the whole kit and caboodle again. Just so you know.
Oh, I love that.
We're about to restart the whole thing. I don't even know why. There's no justification, but I just might do it.
I might find a way to do it after... there's no way. Here's the problem with a rewatch. It's getting absurd. Like I'm looking and I was thinking, oh, maybe between Black Panther and Ant-Man, but.
Yeah. You got to start just doing like phase four rewatches now and like putting the other one a bow on it. It was what it was. Otherwise. Yeah. It's like what 35 projects. It's a lot.
I think I am going to do a phase four rewatch soon because.
Sure.
There are several projects that I have basically only seen once. Like Moon Knight, I didn't rewatch all of those. Miss Marvel, I've seen largely once. So I am really excited to do that. But I'm also really excited to follow you and Anika's full-on journey.
Especially once this Phase 4 stuff starts connecting, I'll feel the need to go back and rewatch all of Phase 4 to see those seeds being planted. Well, what do you guys think? I genuinely want to know, what are you most excited about for Phase 5 and Phase 6? How did this announcement hit you? Where were you? How are you feeling? Holy cow, we are both rejuvenated again, and we love it so much. Thanks for listening. We'll be back really soon with a lot more content, Thor, Love, and Thunder next week, and just a whole lot of stuff. So we love you guys. Stay in touch with us. Check out our sponsors. Thanks to our sponsors, and we'll see you next time on Friends from Work.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.